What about divorce or separation between two Christians? Or what happens if you come to Christ and your spouse does not? What are we supposed to do? Well, let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to the Day in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us as we've been walking through 1 Corinthians. Today we're in chapter 7, verse 10 through 16, dealing with some very difficult statements or questions that the Corinthians would have written to Paul, and he comes back in dealing with divorce or separation between believers. Then he addresses also what it means for someone who do come to Christ and their spouse not be a Christian. So the first two verses, 10 and 11, addresses the command that the Lord gave. Let's read this. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Now, where would that question be coming from? As we already mentioned, if they're thinking that they could be more spiritual if they abstain from sexual relationship in a marriage, maybe they shouldn't even be married, that they could give themselves more to the kingdom, they could be holier, they could be more spiritual if they didn't have the cares of life as a marriage now that they've come in the kingdom of God. They would not have known the teaching about marriage. Paul's actually addressing here one of the teachings out of Matthew chapter 19 of Jesus, but they would not have known that what God has put together, let no man put asunder. They would not have known that. They would have thought, well, I entered into this as a pagan. Now that I'm a Christian, did that marriage even count? Which is a powerful teaching for us because God says, whom God has put together. Jesus quoted that, whom God has put together. And I've heard people go, oh, that's my problem. That's my problem. God didn't put us together. No. The institution of marriage itself is God's. When you come into covenant and into agreement and you say, I do, in the institution of marriage, God has put you together. See, marriage is not man's idea. There wasn't a man sitting around somewhere and goes, you know, I need to have a wife. I'm going to go get me a wife. Man did not come up with this. This is originally from the beginning, according to Genesis 2:24, when God made Adam and Eve, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and join themselves unto his wife and become one flesh. That's why Christians have a strong biblical base for marriage between a man and a woman only, because it's an institution of marriage. Now, I know that humanity can institute their own rules, but when it comes to a biblical base, God instituted marriage. It's not man's idea. It's not what we call it. We can't define it. God instituted it. So even if two pagans who don't know God come into the institution of marriage and they come together as one flesh in covenant, they have joined into the institution that God created from the very beginning. They may not even know God. And that was the case here with these Corinthians who had come to Christ now, and they're going, wait a minute, is marriage Christian? And Paul's bringing them back to the reality. Wait a minute. Yes, stay in that marriage. Don't depart. And if you do, don't remarry. Wait to be reconciled with your husband or with your spouse, because he turns right around and says, and husbands not to divorce his wife. Now, when he says, not I command you, but the Lord commands you, he's actually bringing the teaching out of Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus is telling them that God instituted marriage. And they came back to say to Jesus, then verse 8, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces a wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Now, Jesus is straightening them up here, because Moses did not command a certificate of divorce. He permitted it, as Jesus corrected. because of the hardness of their heart, because of the depravity of man. Divorce happens because of sin. He gives permission for a biblical divorce, if you want to use that term, when there is sexual defilement against the marriage covenant. Doesn't require it, doesn't command it, but he gives permission for it. God demonstrates both for us. He wrote Israel a bill of divorcement because of the unfaithfulness, as he called it, adultery of their heart. But he also shows us the picture in Hosea where he loved her back. So God demonstrates what it is to stay in covenant, but he gives permission for divorce when it's been defiled by sexual immorality. And I think it's important that that term porneia or fornication or sexual immorality is used here rather than adultery. You would think the word adultery would be used, because if a married man goes outside the marriage, it is adultery. But he uses the word porneia because it includes all sexual uncleanness. Now that's the word, the term that Moses would have used, that they were referring to in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1. It says, if a man marries a wife and finds in her anything that defiled or unclean, he writes her a bill or certificate of divorce. That word unclean. Now the passage actually says if he finds anything that displeases him and is defiled or unclean. So the Jews took that to mean anything my wife does that displeases me, I can write her bill of divorcement. And so that became a common thing as Jesus had to confront them. They added to God's word. They interpreted the law and added to the law. That's legalism. And they added to the law, wait a minute, if she displeases me, I can write her a bill of divorcement. But in context, it means what Jesus said, except for the cause of fornication or sexual uncleanness. And so if he found his wife to be unfaithful, then he could write her a bill of divorcement. And Jesus says the same thing here for sexual immorality. But otherwise, Paul is taking them back to what the command of Jesus was saying, that they were to remain in that marriage. Now, because of depravity, it needs to be known that divorce, as hard and ugly as it is not an unpardonable sin. It's not an unforgivable sin. It does seem to stay with the family forever, even if, that is, if there's children, because even in death, where are you going to bury them? You've got two parents that are divorced. Family situations seem impossible. Now, I've watched the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus in the heart of people restore marvelous relationships after there's been a brokenness and humility and repentance. So it's not the unpardonable sin, but it was not God's plan, and there's consequences as a result. And Paul's coming back to command, as the Lord commanded, no, stay in that marriage, don't depart from that marriage, and if you do, stay until you're reconciled. Then he goes on to say, what about Christians who were married and they have an unbelieving spouse? That may not be the same in our culture, but it could be, because they would have not known anything, and now one comes to Christ, and the other one is still a pagan, still, and they, wait a minute, this home is not sanctified. I could live better for Jesus if I would get out of this marriage. And Paul addresses this. He says, but to the rest, not the Lord, and what I'm about to say, he says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. Now, when Paul says to the rest, I'm telling you and not the Lord, he's not saying what he's saying is not authoritative. He's saying the Lord just didn't teach on this. But I am going to give a command here or instruction here. And he says, the Lord didn't teach on this, but if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. Meaning that they come to Christ and that person doesn't reject them. Because that happened in the early church. It happens today. Someone comes to Christ and they say, because you're a Christian, I depart from you. He says, let them depart. In verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. Wow. Now, he's not saying that the unbelieving spouse is saved, but he's using the word sanctified or holy, meaning set apart. The effect of the kingdom is from the inside out. And the gospel coming into that marriage and into that home through that believing spouse has a direct effect upon that home, both to the children and to the husband. So he's saying, don't depart from this. Don't leave this. He says, but if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. So he's saying, if the unbeliever departs, that's one thing, but the believer, hold fast, remain, because he goes on to say, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you'll save your wife? You don't know, so don't try to hold on to them, or don't try to do anything in your power to change anything. This is not a place for you to try to take it into your own hands to manipulate anything. He says, if that person departs and opposes Christianity and departs, let them go, then you're not under bondage or under the covenant of that marriage. They departed from it. He said also that the believing spouse sanctifies the children or makes them holy, sets them apart. That doesn't mean that they're converted, but it does mean that the gospel has entrance there, and there's a difference in a home when the gospel comes into it than a home where the gospel is not. It sanctifies the other spouse and sanctifies the children, and the gospel is entering in to make a transformation. And this is how the kingdom works in every area of our culture. You're going to see in the next teaching the difficulty of what happens to people in the state, even if they are slaves, what happens to their heart to let the kingdom come and transform and change that which is wrong. This is what he's saying here among the spouse. Do the same thing. Let the kingdom of God, and if they depart, let them depart. You're free, but don't you try to take it into your own power to make a change. Wow. So Paul has addressed Christians who are in a marriage and both are believers, and he's addressed those who come to Christ and the other spouse is non-believer. Meditate upon this as we walk through today in the Word.